I was in the middle of writing a book on the importance of obedience while regretting mine.
I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on this. I'm waiting on that. And it's like, nah, God is actually waiting on you.
Yeah.
We like, okay, yes, I believe in Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's something different to follow him. If we are not careful, at some point there'll be a switch and you'll think that what you have is yours.
A lot of times we'll make our feelings our idol in the moment to where we'll just discredit God's voice because of how we feel.
What we're holding in our hands, if we can't release it in response to God, it's an idol.
Your heart posture is everything.
What we pray for reveals the posture of our hearts. The way I know God, I wouldn't have known him at this level or this level of intimacy had I not, like, just said yes. That is the journey of yes.
What's good, y'all? Welcome back to the More Purpose Podcast,
where we talk everything from faith to finances.
I'm your host, Clarence.
And your co-host, Marlon.
And today, we have a very special guest.
Yeah.
I don't think they know how, like, who's in the room right now with us.
Listen, we're very excited. This has been a long time coming. We've been trying to make this work for a long time. Okay. But she just so happens to be in Virginia. We just want to introduce pastor, author, creative, Brenda Palmer is here.
What's going
our
on?
Our sister.
What's good,
sister?
To see
you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
My brothers.
Yes.
It's been a long time coming. We made it.
We made it.
We made it.
It's been a lot of communication, like back and forth through IG and different things like that. And before BCI, the first BCI, we met for the first time. And we just want to say while you're here and while the camera's on, because I don't think people know the magnitude of what happens in like green rooms and stuff like that. And sometimes you admire people off social media, you meet them in person and you're like,
I wish I never met you.
I wish I never met that person. And so I have been following you for a while. We both been following you. And I'm like, I'm so excited to meet Brenda Palmer. We love her work. Aww. We met and you was like
Mad
cool
genuine.
From day one. Like who you are on social media is who you were in person. And we just want to say we admire that. Aww. And we appreciate you for being genuine, because that was our first time being in a space like that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that can get a little weird, you
for
know.
Sure.
But so that stuck with us for sure.
I love that. Same. Yeah. I was like, oh, these are my brothers. I feel like these are my brothers. Yeah. Like I feel like it was real. It was genuine.
For sure.
I actually didn't expect like you to be as like down to earth as you was, because like he said, like, and that was our first time ever being like in an environment like that with like minded individuals, but then people that we also follow on Instagram and everything, like he said. So when I met you, I was like, bro, he was like, bro, that's Brenda right there. I was like, bro, that's Brenda, right there. Like, where she at? And meeting you for the first time, I was like, no, she mad cool. Like,
yeah,
it felt like we hit it off immediately.
Yeah.
But I appreciated how like humble you already was in general, but how open and welcoming you was at the same time because. You didn't have to, like, you know what I'm saying? You didn't have to be open arms with just us in general in a moment, but it felt like a beautiful experience to even witness how much God's kingdom is expanding, but just seeing like the grace and favor on your life. I was like, bro, I can't wait to hear her talk. I can't wait to see her speak on
TV.
I gotta be front row. Like, when's her session? What time she gonna go up?
And we filmed together already.
We did.
Yeah, we did.
What happened to
it? I
guess
it
was not good. We never saw that, bro.
It was so fun too.
We did. That was the first time.
It was.
Wow.
I just thought about that this moment. I'm like, we filmed with Brenda already for the 10X.
Dang. We didn't know he was even supposed to.
We
did
it. We just. I was like, oh, it's us together.
Yeah,
it was very interesting. Experience.
So we just want to give you your flowers, like, and we're glad to have you here.
No, I'm excited to be here
for sure. So for those that do not know who Brenda Palmer is, can you just take us through a little bit of your backstory? Because I'm sure people see where you are now. Mm-hmm. You're traveling all across the world. You're preaching. You just dropped a book, The Journey of Yes.
Yes,
you know, but people don't know the background of how you got to where you were.
For sure. I would say, I always like to say, I'm just a girl who said yes to following Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm from Chicago, born and raised. Yeah. I'm the youngest of 10, actually.
Yeah.
So I have a blended family.
Yeah.
But I'm the only one my parents have together.
Yeah.
So I have a blended family.
Gotcha.
My mom actually had her tubes tied.
Mm-hmm.
And then, surprise, surprise.
What?
She said, well, so my brother next to me, we're 13 years apart.
Okay.
So she thought she was done.
Yeah.
The Lord said, not yet, man. Not yet. And so I have a big family for the most part. I went to undergrad at Mississippi Valley. I went to grad school at Syracuse. I always wanted to work in entertainment.
Yeah.
I started off wanting to be like a talk show host. I thought I wanted to be a journalist, but I don't like that journalists can't give opinions. They have to be neutral.
Yeah.
And I'm too opinionated for that.
Yeah.
So I learned in undergrad, like, this ain't gonna work for me because I got stuff to say. So I like fell in love with production, like behind the scenes, running a show. So I went to grad school at Syracuse to do that. Studied television, radio, and film. I was supposed to move to LA in 2014.
Really?
I had a interview with Radical Media, mm-hmm. and at the time they were like producing documentaries for tours. So they had did everybody from Nicki Minaj to Jay-Z, mm-hmm. and I was like, okay, cool. And then my housing situation started falling apart, and I was like, I can't live in my car. Yeah. And I just feel like I didn't have a peace about going. Mm-hmm. So I stayed, I started serving at a church. I started serving as a volunteer, then I became a part-time, then became full-time, and I was doing all the things at the church, which I'm super grateful for. Like, I think people sleep on the amount of experience that you get in a church.
Yeah.
Like, I've been able to do the things in entertainment because of all the roles
and
I played.
You develop your gifts.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like, I was just thinking, like, my pastor at the time, like, I did his book tour. Like, he self-published a book, him and his wife, and I did all the things. Like, I got them a publicist. We did, like, TV stuff. We did, which was preparation because I had to do all that stuff for myself. And I was like, oh, I've done this before, you know? Like, so I think like we sleep on that. But I did that for a while. And then 2018, I moved to LA to pursue entertainment.
Yeah.
I always felt like there would be some level of ministry, but I thought like hosting Bible studies. Like,
that's all.
That's it. So I was like, yeah, God, like, let's do it. And I did do that. I started freelancing. I worked at for BET. I did content for Tidal. Like, I started producing like a lot of digital content. I started a production company. And at the height of that taking off, God was like, great, love that. And moved me to the middle of nowhere, 2 hours outside of LA.
Really?
And I joined staff at a church that was predominantly white in a very conservative like environment. And he's like, that's where I'm sending you.
Yeah.
So I became director of communications and experiences. So I oversaw worship, production, comms. And that was supposed to be it. And then 1 week, he was like, how'd you feel about preaching? I was like, what?
Randomly.
What do you mean by that?
Like, I never I never did that before. So I don't know how I feel about it. What are you saying? He's like, yeah, like, you know, just like it'll be three people, just 10 minutes, we'll slide you in the middle. I'm like, and I feel like when I went there, God was like, okay, now it's time to say yes. Yeah. Like, no more running, like, knock it off. Like, whatever I'm asking you to do, just do it. And that's kind of what happened. Like, September 1st, 2021, I preached my first sermon. And then after I preached my first sermon, I think we all realized, like, oh, maybe this is something, like, I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
So then they added me to the teaching team. So I was preaching maybe every 6 to 8 weeks. And then other people started posting my clips on TikTok. And they started, like, moving. I wasn't even, I had like 7 followers on TikTok. You know? TikTok was not even hit for me. And then people were like hitting my parents, like, I saw Brenda on TikTok preaching. I'm like, how? Because I'm not on TikTok. And then I was like, well, maybe I should start posting, like, because I wasn't even posting them on Instagram. Like, I wasn't posting sermon clips. That was not a thing for me. And then when other people started doing, I was like, oh, maybe I'll try this. And then within 7 days, like, my TikTok grew to like 13,000. Just like off 2 clips. And I was like, okay, this is crazy. I started posting them on Instagram, and then I feel like it started to just like get traction. And then 2 years after being at that church, they were going to consecrate me as a pastor, and then God was like, let's go. And I'm like, where are we going? And he was like, to a place I'll show you. It felt very like much like Abraham. To a place, when you get there, I'll show you. And I was like, And so I gave like my 3-week notice, put my stuff in storage, and just spent the year being a nomad. Like traveling the country, just hosting pop-up Bible studies on the dime of the Lord, because I didn't have a job. And by the end of that year, I signed a book deal. So just like,
that's crazy.
I literally am just a girl who just said yes to God and just kept ending up in places. Like, I never wanted to be a preacher. I never wanted to do ministry. I never wanted to be an influencer. I never wanted to be on, like, that wasn't my vibe at all. But I think it was, when I think about it, I'm like, this was always the Lord's plan. He just setting me up the whole time, making me think I had good ideas. He's like, oh, great. Love that. Let's do that. But it's been like a really good journey. Like, above, like, apart from all the things I've been able to experience, like, the way I know God, I wouldn't have known him at this level or this level of intimacy had I not, like, just said yes.
So to touch on that real quick, right, about the feeling like it was an Abraham type moment, how God told him, hey, leave your family, leave your relatives, leave everything that you know. Cool. Like, a lot of times when we talk about walking in obedience, a lot of people feel like they have to hear direct instruction first or get, I have to have detail on the exact next step of where am I going? Like, where am I going? But in that moment, do you feel like that reassured your faith in a way when you took one step and you seen the result after you took your step?
Yeah, absolutely. And that, I feel like that situation was more like, that's the only time that's happened like that. Where, like, God literally would not give me an instruction until I took a step. And it was like, in everything. It was, like, even when I needed confirmation, it wouldn't come until I took a step. And I was like, bro, what is happening? Like, I kept saying, like, I feel like this is what God's telling me to do, but I wasn't sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I kept, so I was like, okay, God, I'm waiting on you to confirm it. It's what I do when I'm scared. So I just started telling myself, I'm waiting on the Lord to confirm it. So I'm not doing anything.
Yeah.
And
that's,
I'm like,
a big one.
Yeah. 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 You're like, so Brenda, what are you doing? It's like, I need confirmation. It's like, well, what are you doing to receive the, what is he confirming if you're not doing anything? Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that particular time, although I had moved out of my old apartment, mm-hmm. but I had a new apartment that was waiting,
okay. yeah.
and I hadn't released it yet. I was just holding on to it because I was like, well, just in case I'm tripping and the Lord ain't really say this, I won't be homeless.
Yeah, a backup plan.
Yeah, and so I feel like I had a friend and I was like, I feel like the Lord needs me to decide in my heart. And she was like, no, he needs you to decide in action.
Wow.
You've already decided in your heart.
Yeah,
you need to do something.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's that apartment. Mm-hmm. And so I sent an email and I was like, unfortunately, I'm moving and I can't take this apartment. And I feel like, and then I was waiting on, my best friend Stephanie is like a person I feel like God will use to confirm things.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I tell her something, sometimes she has to remove herself from being my best friend
and just
listen to the Lord. Because sometimes she's like, moving? The Lord ain't in that.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, what did God say? Mm-hmm. Like, not what did you say?
Yeah.
But I feel like all of the steps I've had to take, like, God will use her.
Mm-hmm.
This particular time, he wouldn't let her say anything. Like, I would keep asking her, like, so what do you think God's saying? She's like, so how was your day?
Yeah.
Like, she would just keep changing the subject.
Yeah.
The moment I released that apartment, I sent the email at 3:57. At 4 o'clock, she called me.
That's great.
And it had been weeks. And she was like, and as soon as I said hello, she's like, so what do you feel like the Lord's saying about this season?
Yeah. Randomly.
I was like, nah.
No way.
And so I think it is that. It's not really faith if you like wanting the Lord to spell it out.
Yeah.
It's like faith is literally the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I have to take a step into the unknown in order for it to even be qualified as faith.
Yeah.
And so I think like it is that, but I don't know, it's been a fun journey because I never would have imagined to end up where I am now. And in that moment, it felt like you want me to be a peasant.
Yeah.
Poor.
Yeah.
And without homeless too. Yeah, it's like, this doesn't make sense. He's like, I have a plan.
Yeah.
I
find myself in times past throwing the word faith on what was really fear.
Mm.
I've been in that exact same situation where it's like, I'm waiting on God, I'm waiting on this, I'm waiting on that. And it's like, nah, God is actually waiting on you.
Yeah.
You know, and I think as believers, sometimes we get in this place of like paralysis where it's like, we're waiting on God and we don't make no movements at all.
Mm-mm.
So it's like, we're just sitting and he's looking at us, you're looking at him, he's looking at us.
He's like, and it's so like, who's gonna move?
Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, talk to that a little bit.
Yeah, I think it is, Pastor Teray, his favorite scripture is like, the steps of a good man are ordered, right?
Yeah.
And then like, he always breaks that word down. He's like, that word ordered, when you break it down, the Greek means erected.
Wow.
Which essentially means like the steps are ordered, like not just they're planned, but as you take one step, the next step is then erected, right? Because it just falls into place.
That's
and
so
I think like that picture like wrecked me because I'm thinking like, okay, it's ordered. So I'm going to see the pathway. It's like, no, one step then erects the other step, right? And so I think it is this idea of like, I think obedience is all about trust.
Yeah.
Because when we think about Abraham, Abraham's father served other gods.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't actually even know God in a way that would give him the faith to just take this step, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, I heard a voice, I'm gonna go with it.
Yeah.
And then they develop this like relationship along the way.
Yeah.
And so I think it is that, I think the apprehension speaks to our lack of knowledge of the person that's calling us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if I don't, it's like, if my mama said, hey, come here, I'm not be like, well, how many steps you need me to take?
Yeah.
Where are we going? What, you know what I'm saying? No, it's just like, my mom called me. I know her voice. Mm-hmm. I know her character. I know she's not going to lead me to anything that's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So immediately I'm going to just go.
Yeah.
Versus somebody that's a stranger, if they be like, hey, Brenda, come, who are you? Where are we going?
Facts.
How long have you been driving?
Facts.
What do you know what I'm saying? Like, there are these lists of questions. So it's like, if I'm asking all these questions, it's because I don't really know God in the way that I need to in order to take the step.
That's really good.
And so I think it is that. It is like having enough faith in the person who's calling me that I can trust him beyond the way I fear what I don't know.
Yeah. I love that because it makes, when you think about it, it's really, when it comes to faith, it's not as complicated as we make it.
Nope.
It's more so, again, faith and works. Like, you put the two together, that's where you actually experience what God actually has going on for you.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Marlon, we was coming back from the airport, and you know how we have escalators and everything, and you have like the walking escalators that will help speed up your walk to get to your destination.
To speed it up.
But I was telling Marlon, you're supposed to speed it up. But when we got off of it, like, it was like the Holy Spirit had hit me right there. And I was like, this is exactly how the Holy Spirit works when you walk in obedience. Once you take one step, now God can accelerate your steps, because now you're able to walk with him at his pace. That way, like, you don't feel like you changed your speed at all.
Yeah.
But you still got to where you needed to get to at a faster rate, because now you have the favor on your life because of what the Holy Spirit was allowed to download into you from you walking in obedience.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, a lot of people don't see no motion where they feel like they're supposed to be going to because they're not walking in obedience.
Yeah.
And the grace that comes from walking in obedience is where you actually see things start shifting a little bit.
Yeah.
But if you take a step first.
No, and even in like the smallest things. Like I could tell when I'm like in a good space with the Lord, because they're just random things. Just, like, I think I had a preacher at a church, and I needed my pants like hemmed. Yeah. It's so like simple. And I'm like, I go to the store on Saturday because I procrastinate.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so I take it to Nordstrom's and I'm like, so how long is this gonna take? She's like, I can have it for you in a week. I said, oh no, no ma'am.
I
need this in the morning. like tomorrow.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, okay, just $10 extra. I'll do it for you. I have it for you, you know, by 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, y'all might think that's just normal. I'm like, no, it's the favor.
Yeah,
because she said a week, and then I didn't even like protest.
Yeah.
And she's just like, actually, I'll do it for you today.
Yeah.
That's easy.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like, but things like that happen all the time where it's like, no, I can see the favor of God like on my life. And I'm like, okay, I need to be prepared in a way that says like, okay, God, I trust you even when I can't see it, but obedience unlocks the favor and the grace to handle the thing you're stepping into that you don't think you are good enough for or that you think you can. You're like, no, nah, I'm not ready. It's like, if he called me, I'm ready.
Yeah.
And by the time I get there, I'll be prepared.
Mm-hmm. Yes. When we was in Indiana, a preacher was preaching, and something he said that was so good, speaking about Abraham, he was like, you know, the difference between Abram and Abraham was obedience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, a lot of us are trying to be somebody that we've never been before. We're trying to do things that we've never done before.
Yeah.
And that middleman, that deciding factor is obedience.
Yes.
Or that yes. And just to tie the book in now, I know that when you was writing this book, it was birthed from a place of, you know, you was doing this thing in real life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people see the product of the book, they see the product and the outcome of obedience, but don't know where you was when you was trying to create this thing. So speak to that a little bit. Where were you when you was creating this book? What was Brenda going through? Who was Brenda?
Brenda was fighting for her life.
Wow, that's so crazy to even to hear that.
I really was. I say this all the time. I was like, I was in the middle of writing a book on the importance of obedience while regretting mine.
Wait, say that again.
I didn't hear that.
I was in the process of writing a book that was trying to encourage people to be obedient while I was regretting my obedience.
That's crazy.
So in the middle of writing this book, I had just renounced the sorority I was a part of, and then I started talking about it.
Yeah.
And then I started experiencing all the backlash that comes with that conversation. And then like the backlash wasn't really the issue. It was like people that I knew that were like being weird.
Yeah.
And it's like, y'all, that's weird.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know how to navigate that. At the same time, like we spoke about green rooms and all that, but there's like a world that like people don't, like the outside people don't see.
Facts.
That exists like once you cross a certain threshold.
I agree.
And you start getting access to people that maybe you only knew from a distance, and you start getting in certain rooms. And then when you reach a certain level of influence, now there is an expectation placed on you from this world that you didn't even know existed.
Yeah.
Facts.
So it's like, oh, if you preach like this, if you sound like this, if you engage like this, you belong in this group.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, but if you're not in this group and you rock with that group, and it's like, well, we don't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's like,
and
I'm like, I belong to Jesus.
Yeah.
And I don't fit in a group. Mm-hmm. That's why you can't, you like, well, does she go? Does she go?
You don't know.
I came from heaven.
Yeah.
The Lord sent me here. You know what I'm saying? Like, but that was jarring for me. Mm-hmm. It was like I started to get exposed to like the politics and the tribalism that exists within our faith. And I didn't like it. Like, and I didn't really know how to respond to it. It's like, I'm only doing this because it's what the Lord told me to do. And in response to being obedient, and just because I love Jesus. And when you start getting in certain spaces and you realize everybody ain't in it because they love Jesus, that can be disheartening.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And so I think for me, it started to be like, I actually don't want to be a part of none of y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm good.
Yeah.
And so it started to make me just kind of want to, I think some of my radical choices were alienating me. And then there was a part of me like self-alienating because it was like, I don't know what to do with this, you know, kind of thing. And so I think it was all of that. And it was just like, God, this made my life really hard. And I actually didn't want none of this.
Yeah.
And so I think I battled a lot with that. And then I think I got to the end of the year and I was just like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I quit. And I was like, I think people think it's a joke, but mm-hmm. like I announced that I was like going to go do like a pop-up tour.
Mm-hmm.
And then I announced it and I did one date in Atlanta. Then I canceled it.
Really?
And I was like, I'm going to just head out because mm-hmm. I actually don't want. And I think part of it was like I had so much to do and so many things to show up for that I didn't have time to process like how things are making me feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was just like running. And then I mm-hmm. got to the end of myself
mm-hmm. yeah.
and the Lord was not involved in that. And yeah. it's like, mm-hmm. I do know enough to be like, I can be pouring into people from where my heart is yeah. right now. So yeah. I'm going to go sit down. But I just never intended to come back. I'm yeah. just like, mm-hmm. I don't really like this.
Yeah.
I'm gonna just go serve Jesus by myself. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna work at Target, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be good. And I feel like I needed to have that moment because mm-hmm. I feel like God needed to remind me why yeah. I was doing what I was doing.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think we can easily get swung in this world, whether in a positive way or a negative way, mm-hmm. and it we lose sight of why we started to do what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think. All while trying to write a book about obedience and like
man.
you should follow the Lord the
yeah.
whole time. I'm like, or not.
Question.
You know what I'm saying? Or maybe don't follow him because yeah. it's gonna ruin your life.
You know, like, that's crazy.
And so I think some of it to an extent was also warfare. So I didn't finish the book.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it just was like, what is this? Why is it so hard?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's like also to see the fruit of what the book is doing now. It's like, yeah. oh, I understand mm-hmm. why the enemy was like, nah, she don't need to finish it at all, for sure. And so I think I'm grateful for that journey. I remember in the middle of my quitting season, I went to brunch with a couple of friends mm-hmm. who are not in, like, they know the Lord, but they're
yeah,
not
they're
in the
not,
faith,
yeah.
right? Like, yeah. so one's an actress, one's a celebrity interior designer, mm-hmm. the other one was like a celebrity hairstylist.
Yeah.
And we're just like at brunch and they're like mm-hmm. having conversations. I'm in my quitted state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm sitting, my jacket on my shoulders, my sunglasses. I'm not saying nothing to nobody. I'm really hungry
yeah.
also.
Listen.
So I'm just sitting there chilling and they start saying things. Like one girl was like, you know, I don't read my Bible, but she loves the church that she goes to. She's yeah. like, does a pastor really be? I'm like, but how you really know if you be on?
Yeah.
But I'm not saying anything because
yeah.
I quit.
Yeah.
So this, they this is their business. But every time they said something, I was like, this is disrupting me.
Yeah.
And so I sat there for like an hour and didn't say anything. And I had a friend. She's like, Brenda, we haven't heard from you. I'm like, because I have nothing to say.
Yeah.
Like, I quit. And she's like, I got a question. And she asked the question. And in the process of her asking a question, it placed the demand on what's inside of me. And immediately, like, we start having a conversation and everybody starts asking questions and I yeah. finally address the, you need to read your Bible.
Yeah.
All the things. Yeah. And so I feel like God really used that moment to, like, jar me in a sense of, I've been saying, like, sometimes God will sit you in the face of those who will suffer from your disobedience.
Man.
Right? Because I'm choosing, I'm bowing out.
Yeah. yeah.
You can have this.
Yeah.
And he's like, but here's a group of people who will suffer if you walk away.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I feel like he's like,
so
no, he's like, you think you can walk away? I'm going to sit you face to face
mm-hmm.
with the reality of what that actually
wow.
means.
Yeah.
That this group of people doesn't get to encounter me because you mad.
Man.
Yeah.
And I feel like that just started a ripple effect of him, like, reminding me, like, what I was called to. Because I think so much was being, like, thrown at me. I started to doubt why, like, is this even what I'm supposed to do? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, am I a false prophet? Because I'm, you know, bruh.
<Yeah. laughs>
You, like, because I misquote the scripture.
Yeah.
Did I, you know what I'm saying? Like, am I, like, is my doctrine not sound? Like, mm-hmm. am I not, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, you just get in your head because there's so much we're taking
yeah.
in. And I feel like I just started to go, like, I don't think this is what the Lord wants me to do. And
yeah.
I feel like he used that moment to say, like, it's not going to look like everybody else.
Yeah.
And, like, you got to be okay with people not getting it.
Yes.
It's that doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he took me to Revelation 2.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you're doing all the things. Doing great.
Yeah.
You know, they would be considered the premier church.
Yeah.
And Jesus is like, but you forsaken your first love.
Wow.
You've forgotten that the reason you were doing this was to mm-hmm. please me.
Yeah.
Not to please man.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
And so we went on this journey. And when I finally did come back, he made me preach that sermon everywhere I went.
Really?
And I was like, bruh,
yeah.
we done with Revelation?
Welcome
I'm like,
back.
So we going
yeah.
to the... He said, and again.
Yeah.
And again. Because it's not just a message that you need. It's what mm-hmm. the church needs.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know, like, it doesn't matter that we look good on the outside. God wants our hearts.
Yes.
And if I could walk away from a place he put me in because of how it made people feel,
man.
I forsaken my first love.
Man.
That's crazy. That's so good.
Yeah.
And I want you to actually kind of tap into the aspect of, even though you was doubting where you was in the obedience aspect, how important it is for you to still be able to give it to God and still walk in obedience despite how you personally feel. Because a lot of times we'll make our feelings our idol in the moment to where we'll just discredit God's voice because of how we feel.
No, 100%. And I think, like, I think I have just settled in, just because I'm like, just because I'm mad, the assignment doesn't stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And something I keep pointing out is, like, when you go throughout scripture, before God calls, like, any person that was, like, who he needed, he would say, I've heard the cries of the people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now you go. Yeah. Right?
So good.
Which means that all of us were born to respond to a cry of a people.
Wow.
And so that group of people is going to cry as long as you are out of place.
Man.
And then they have the misconception that Jesus didn't show up for them when the moment they cried, he created you to answer that cry.
Now
they like, well, God didn't show up. Actually, he did show up. We're waiting on you to answer the cry.
Man.
And so I think, like, when we start to think about it like that, it's like, no, I don't exist for myself. I exist to respond to a cry of a people. And how long
really
am I gonna, like, because now their encounter with the Lord is now hanging in the balance of me going, well, I'm over this, or I don't know if I could do this, or it's too big. It's like that they still crying.
Yeah.
And that's biblical, because listen, the children of Israel cried out for 400 years.
400
years. I heard your cry. Now I'm sending Moses.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
So imagine Moses doesn't respond.
Which is why, which is why though, right? Like, even if you go to Moses' story, it says Moses was favored. So this is the first adoption we see.
Yes.
But God has to do that because he's a answer to a cry.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's y'all so don't like to touch this topic of abortion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But how many cries,
answers
to cries have been aborted because we made a decision?
Facts. Man. Facts. Facts.
Man.
That's
so
crazy.
We like, God, what you gonna do? Could it be that what the answer we needed today was aborted however many years ago?
Wow.
No, because we're not seeing it like that.
Yeah.
When something needs to be done in the earth, God sends us.
Yes.
This is our domain.
Yeah. Yeah.
We get to be managers of the earth in partnership with him.
Yes.
Yeah.
As it is in heaven, may it be on earth through us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like we overlook that even when it's time for us to respond to what the Lord's asking us to do.
Yeah.
Because we're just only concerned about ourselves and how it affects us. And it's so much bigger than you. When the Lord is asking you, he ain't even really thinking about you.
He's
thinking about the cries of the people he keeps having to hear because you're not stepping into it.
Yeah, it's bigger than us. We're just the vessels.
We're a vessel.
And it's crazy, but you bringing that up really is confirmation for something I just finished fasting, and God kind of like pointed that out to me. But I was watching a business video.
Mm-hmm.
I love business people. I love different entrepreneurs. I love seeing how they went from where they are, from start to finish, how they got to where they got to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the interview, he was basically asking the billionaire, he said, if you was to go back from the beginning, how would you make yourself a billionaire again? He said, I'll watch the markets, I'll find the void, and I will sprint to it. So when I heard that, the Holy Spirit immediately said to me, like, everybody that's my children have a specific assignment that they're supposed to fill.
Mm-hmm.
You have to fulfill that assignment.
Yeah.
So then it took me to Mark 13, where it talks about the analogy of the person that owned the home. He goes away for a long trip,
mm-hmm.
and then each worker has a certain assignment, mm-hmm. and then you have the watcher at the gate.
Yeah.
But everybody has a certain job they're supposed to fulfill while they're waiting for his return.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, I told everybody in our More Purpose community, I was saying, like, yo, like, everybody has a specific gift, a specific anointing, a specific oil that's graced on them specifically for a certain space.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not walking in that, imagine people that aren't going to be able to say yes because you didn't say yes.
Man.
Imagine all the souls attached to what you're called to conquer or to basically walk boldly in. Because in our situation, right, if I let my insecurity of public speaking, if I let my insecurity of me talking 1,000 miles per hour, all these different things, mm-hmm. overpower God's voice and his instruction, imagine all the people that wouldn't be impacted by everything that God has allowed us to be graced to do.
Yeah.
Vice versa for you. Same thing. If you never said yes, imagine the millions of people that have heard your voice and has been inspired and motivated to say yes as well.
Yeah.
Where would they be right now if you didn't walk in what God told you to walk in?
Yeah.
And it kind of blessed me because it was like, bro, like, that's really insane to think about, because literally everybody has a certain role or a certain job title in a way in the spirit that they're supposed to be doing, but they could be hindering someone else's walk because they're delaying their, they're walking in delayed obedience.
Yeah, for sure.
And I also, I think as well, while we're on this topic, I think a lot of times what you're assigned to do or what you're, you, what you've been chosen to do and the void you've been chosen to fill, a lot of times it shows up as a burden.
Yes.
Absolutely. So it's like, yes, sure. The thing that irritates you the most.
Yes.
The thing
is
that
the thing you were called,
you're called
in your flesh
to do. I'm yes. Just, it's even now I'm thinking about, it's even thinking about Moses before he even had the encounter at the burning bush.
Yeah.
He kills exactly. The Egyptian man. And people don't, we read past that, but no. I always look at that's like crazy. Why they include stuff. He was fighting the one of the Hebrews.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Moses sees it and is like, oh,
he's
what's
like,
going
on? These
on?
Are yeah. people.
Yeah.
Mind you, doing? Mind you, Moses lives in the palace.
Exactly.
Yeah. So he's burdened. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
He doesn't even know it, but his burden is misplaced.
Exactly.
You know, so
and it's,
I think,
it's premature.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. It's without the development.
Yeah.
It's without the like he, which is, that is so true. Yeah. Like, think about all the things we did pre-Jesus.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, like, I've always been one to gather.
Yeah.
Like, I've always been one that people are attracted to.
Facts.
It's just I
facts.
Was leading them to the
wrong
thing.
Wrong
it's yeah. like, all right, yeah. now, guys, we're on the other side. It's like, yeah, now that's why you need the journey.
Yes.
In order to, like, so God can, like, sharpen. Because mm-hmm. it's like, he placed it in us.
Yeah.
Now he's like, let me build it. Like, let me cultivate it.
Yeah, that's really good. Throughout your whole story and just hearing your whole testimony, I think people think, you say yes to God one time.
No, mm-hmm. I wish. Because I thought like after the book.
Yeah.
Good Lord, we want to another lesson.
It's a continuous yes.
It's literally the a continuous yes. The journey of yeses. And I want you to kind of speak to somebody who may be struggling to surrender all. Or you know when people you at church and they're like, you know, you haven't surrendered all to God. You haven't given God your yes. What does that practically look like?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I think practically it just looks like, Lord, whatever you want to do in my life, you can do it.
Yeah.
Like, because I think, like, we like, okay, yes, I believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's something different to follow him.
Facts.
Like, we got a lot of believers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Not a lot of followers.
Facts.
There's a difference between Christians and disciples.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, I believe. It's like, that's the foundation. Mm-hmm. That's great. Love that you believe.
Yeah.
And I liken it. So I remember having this conversation with this lady in an Uber who, I mean, she was taking me to the airport. I was in Atlanta, and she asked me what I did. So I was like, oh, like, I travel to preach.
Yeah.
Woo! Mm-hmm. You start talking about religion.
Yeah,
people, they get an A feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
But ma'am, you asked me, because I was minding my business. And she goes like, oh, okay. And so I said, well, where do you go to church here?
Yeah.
She said, oh, no, I don't do church. I believe. But I don't like subscribe. Like, she just goes on this thing. And it was interesting because in the 20-minute ride, I wish I would probably be rich if I could tell you how many times she kept saying, well, I believe.
Yeah,
I believe. And, you know, but I don't really subscribe. And I could tell there was a lot of church hurt.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, you know, people say they believe, but then they don't act like you could just hear it.
Yeah.
And so my heart in that moment wasn't to convert her. I wanted to first show, like, listen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the second part,
because so
believers,
they missed that part.
Because y'all want to be in the Uber's like, yeah, I got one saved. And
trying
it's like, she ain't even ready for that.
Yeah.
And so I felt like I just needed to extend the love of Jesus.
Yes.
And sometimes the mercy of God is just to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And just listen.
That's a fact.
We don't have to
That's
argue.
So that is wisdom.
We just, I can listen. And so I heard her say something, so I would ask a question. Well, when you say you're a believer or you're spiritual, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, because I believe in Jesus,
but
like, what does that mean for you? And just because I want to understand.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even tell you what your need is if I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can't help you recognize your need for Jesus if I don't know what your need is.
Yes.
And so I think, like, and listening to her, and I just told her, I said, you know, I love that you keep saying you believe. I think that's a great starting point.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but that was meant to be just the foundation that you build on.
Yes.
I said, there's so many more benefits of relationship with the Jesus you believe in.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, that makes sense. And I was like, for example, I was like, let's say you buy an appliance for your house, and you buy it because you only needed to solve this one problem.
Yeah.
You never read the instructions and find out you have so many more
so
benefits
much more. Yeah.
And it answers so many things you didn't even know, right?
That's...
And I was like, that is what your faith is. Mm-hmm. Belief is you purchased it.
Yeah.
But the benefits are like, I got to really get into this and see what I'm holding.
Yeah.
And she's like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I'm good with that. When I got out of the car, she said, thank you for being so kind.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because she hasn't met a believer who's been kind to her.
Yeah. That's
and
crazy.
I'm like, yeah, because, and we got to be okay. One plants a seed,
mm-hmm.
one waters it.
Yeah.
And somebody 10 years later may experience the fruit of seeds we've planted over time. And I think for me, that's like also what the journey of yes is like. Mm-hmm. Saying yes to God is like in a moment where I would rather preach Jesus.
Yeah.
It's just holding back and saying, okay, God, what do you want to do with this moment?
Yeah.
And how does she need to experience you based off where she is? Because I have no insight to this.
Yeah.
And so I feel like it is a lot of going, I don't got any answers. Not just all of them. I don't have any answers. Mm-hmm. And completely relying on the Lord when it comes to all things.
Yeah.
Should I go there? Should I talk to this person? Should I become friends with this person? Mm-hmm. Should I stay at this church? Should I go to this church?
Yeah.
Should I go to this concert? Should I listen to this? Yeah. Should I watch this? Mm-hmm. It is a life that goes, it is better in his hands.
Yeah. Yes.
So he gets to have all of it. Mm-hmm. Not compartmentalizing like, oh, you can have the kitchen. Yeah. You can have all the, if we look at it like a house, you can have all the visible areas, but everybody got that junk drawer and that junk was like, no, don't open that door.
Yeah.
You don't want to open that door.
Yeah.
And I feel like we do that with God sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's like, God, you can have this part. You can have this part. I'm going to hold this down until I need you in it.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I want all of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so good.
No, that was super good.
Yeah.
I try to really focus more on, like lately I've been trying to make my lifestyle build a habit of like doing habitually of going to God about everything. Like, Holy Spirit, all right, like how you just broke it down. Holy Spirit, all right, bet. What are we wearing today?
Yep. Yeah.
Where are we going? Who am I called to talk to? Who am I called to pour into? Am I even called to sell into this person? Yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
All those different things, because a lot of times, prime example for when using the Uber, you could have went into your flesh and just said what you wanted to say.
Yep.
Yeah.
Versus actually inviting the Holy Spirit, all right, Holy Spirit, what's the right way to go about this?
Yeah.
Because how I may go about it might not be what she need right now, because I could easily hear what she's saying. And I could get irritated out of my response to people that claim church hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because from our side of looking in, us being PKs, is like, you didn't come to church for God. You came for, you more so got mad from the people aspect.
And side note, I think PKs, if anybody got a right to be church
hurt,
if anybody got a right to be church hurt, I think we the most church hurt.
No, facts. No. Facts.
That's my little rant. That ain't, you know.
Yeah.
Facts. And in saying that, I think it's just so beautiful that in that moment, you was able to step outside of yourself and maybe be able to step outside of your own perspective of the situation and was able to invite the Holy Spirit in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want you to kind of talk on how important it is to continuously do that, to understand like, hey, no, we're a team. Like, you and the Holy Spirit are a team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think, well, I'm not smart enough.
Yeah.
I've been placed in situations where people will ask me some of the, I'm like, do I look like I know the answer to that? But I think it is a learned behavior.
Yeah.
I think it is also stepping into enough things, trying to do it on your own and realizing like, I don't got the capacity for this. But I never want to miss a moment for people to encounter God.
Yeah.
And that's sometimes even in like somebody does something to me and I respond in a way and I'm like, got to double back on that, right? I think even something we don't talk enough about that's a sin is gossiping.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest outside of fornication.
And how we get roped into that so easily.
Real fast.
Yeah. And I think, like, I really try, like, my hardest to go, like, if I miss the mark on something, like, I have a friend who works in the industry, and we're friends, but God is very clear that, like, the primary focus of our relationship is for me to like disciple her, but in a friend, like not like a, we didn't talk about it, but it's like, I know that like the presence and weight I hold in her life has to come. Like I have to speak what the Lord says first. Yeah.
Yes.
And I remember we were having a conversation. She kept asking me something and Brenda was responding.
Mm.
Yeah. And I was like, nah, because, and I got home and God was like,
now why would you do that?
Yeah. Now go fix that.
Yeah.
And so I did. I FaceTimed her and I was like, man, I owe you an apology. She was like, what did you do?
Yeah.
And I was like, I said, you asked me a question 3 times and I gave you my response.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, my primary response to you needs to be what the Lord says.
Yeah.
And I don't have the privilege to give you my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and we are friends and I love you like that. And like, we gonna always like, you know what I'm saying, kiki, but my primary focus has to be like sharing what God's heart towards you.
Yes.
And I was like, so I owe you an apology. I was like, I can tell that what I say holds weight in your life.
Yeah.
And I don't want to like improperly steward that.
Yeah.
And so I think that, but that is my heart towards all things.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've been doing TV interviews and scared out of my mind. And I'm like, okay, God, I never did this before.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you want to say?
Yeah.
Cause
yeah.
like, this is your moment. That's in talking to friends. Yeah, that's like before I get on live. Mm-hmm. Like, and sometimes I get on live and I'm like, yo, I don't want to ask her questions.
Yeah.
I just want to play. Like, relax. And I'll never forget. Like, one time on there, I was like, I'm not answering questions today. And somebody asked the question. God was like, answer the question.
Yeah, and answer that. Yeah.
And say, yeah. So I think it is just like a yielding. It is a, because I think if we are not careful, at some point there will be a switch and you'll think that what you have is yours.
Man, hello. So good.
And when you start showing up without the Lord and consulting him, you have lost it. Because now you think, these are my people. This is my following. It's my ministry. My is my platform. Yeah. It's like, no, none of this belongs to me.
Yeah.
And so I think I feel the weight of, I don't have the capacity or the knowledge or the wisdom to handle anything on my own.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that heart posture keeps me with like, okay, God, what you want to do with this?
And to tie into that real quick, just for the viewers that may not understand, how does repentance and humility tie into that? Because I feel like that's something that's very important, but it's not as talked about. Like, the aspect of like continuously repenting of different things that could have been done in flesh, where you know, like, yo, Lord, nah, matter of fact, that was me, my fault.
For sure. Yeah. I think repentance keeps us humble, right? This idea that we are not perfect human beings. And I think as believers, sometimes we know how to pretend. But I think, like, I live by, I think it's Psalms 139, like, search me, O Lord.
We just read that yesterday.
It's
crazy.
It's on the list of things that I'm praying every day. Like, reveal anything in my heart that is offensive to you. Because sometimes we are unaware.
You can put that mirror up.
Oh, boy.
I want to keep it
up. He will.
Yeah, he will. And I was like, ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
That was ugly.
Okay. Slow down.
Relax.
Relax. But I think it is that. I think it's important because, like, I just want to please the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? And I think, like, I don't know. Maybe I hold it differently than anybody else, but nothing I have came from me.
Facts.
Like, and I don't know if it's because of how it happened that I hold it like that, but I'm just like, y'all, I don't want to do this by myself. Yeah. I can't do this by myself. And I don't want, repentance comes in because it's like, I don't need anything creating a distance between me and the Lord because I can't show up by myself.
Yeah.
And so I think it is that. I think this earlier this year, I had like a serious moment of repentance because, I fell in a way of like, I got, I would say addicted could be a good word, like addicted to like porn, but like reading it, like books or like, you know what I'm saying? And for most of us, it'd be like, girl, that is not, no, it is.
Yes, yeah.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
And I think when I first started, I didn't realize like what I was doing.
Yeah.
And then when I realized it, I think I was so ashamed. I was like, so then I would just do it, and I'm like, Lord, I'm so sorry. And I would just do it, and I'm like, Lord, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, okay, girl, pattern. Yeah. And then I'm like, the way it's like on my phone, I'm like, no, this is becoming an addiction. Mm-hmm. Like, something is being, like, there's something that's being satisfied here by this, that a place, like, this is something the Lord needs to be feeling or whatever. And I didn't realize it until I started to feel, like, distance. And it was like, I'm reading, like I'm studying, but something feels off. And I'm like, what is going on? And I'm like, I think I might be in sin. you know what I'm saying? Like, Lord?
Yeah.
Okay, let's process this. And I remember watching Preston Morrison, one of my favorite.
He's a great communicator.
Like, I could literally watch his podcast.
It's so
all day.
It's so pure.
It's so pure. He be hitting me.
Leaders
in a cut. I'm like,
love
this
his
is.
Stuff.
But he had one on repentance. And it's like, bro, true repentance is not just, because you know, it's like when you turn away. You know what I'm saying? It's like, no, true repentance is when the thing that I'm doing breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to break the Father's heart.
So good. Yeah. So good.
And I'm like, oh, I haven't truly repented.
Yeah.
Because this isn't breaking my heart.
Wow. Yeah.
Jesus.
I haven't taken on the idea that every time I do this, this breaks my Father's heart and it's breaking mine to do that.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, okay. Now I can truly repent.
Yeah.
Because now I am broken over this. And like, God, can we deal with it? And also, sin is a fruit. So, like, what's the root of this?
Which
is,
always.
You know what I'm saying? Like, which is loneliness, which if we really pay attention to it, is a call for intimacy with the Father.
Because
he's like, hey, it's been a minute.
So
we need to go deep. And if we don't recognize that, we think we're lonely. He's like, no, you're actually absent from me.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so I think that, like, that was, like, a really important journey. And it, I mean, immediately. changed the game.
Good. Yeah.
I was like, because during that time, I was struggling. Like, I hadn't had suicidal ideation thoughts in a long time.
Yeah.
Like, anxiety. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was depressed because we don't realize in sin, we open the door.
Yeah.
And the enemy said, oh, I got free game. Yeah, let's go. And I was like, bro, I almost was out of here. Like, off of a decision I made. Mm-hmm. Or a door I opened, right? Without, and it should have been an open door, but it should have been an open door to the Father to deal with that emotion and whatever I was feeling. Yeah. And so I think it is a, man, this breaks. I don't want to break the Father's heart.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And whenever I make a decision away from him, that is what I do.
Yeah.
And that is a point where it's really repentance. Because you're not going to go back to something like, if I make, like, when I was younger, they didn't really have to whoop me. If my mama said, I'm disappointed in you.
That was different.
It hurt. Ooh, that was,
you didn't,
whoop me.
You didn't yell at me.
No, whoop me, please. Whoop me. Please whoop me. Because to say I disappointed you is like, I'm different.
That pierced the heart.
Yeah.
I'm like, I never did that again. I'm like, no, I disappointed you.
And that's how
you.
God speaks too.
Yeah. That's
exactly. You would think he's yelling like.
He's not yelling.
It being a soft tone.
It's real soft.
Very soft.
And that's when it hit harder.
You like, no. Bruh. And he's like, no, like, and that's the thing, right? It's because that's how we get into shame.
Yeah.
Because it's like, dang, the Lord.
He hates me right now. Yeah. He don't want to hear from me. Mm-mm. Yeah.
And even like in talking about it, I was like telling Tay, I was like, I don't want to talk about that. I did another podcast. Yeah. I'm like, I don't want to talk about this.
Yeah.
And she's like, you need to talk about this. Mm-hmm. Like, because people need to know.
Yes.
Like, we all struggle with things.
Yeah.
Because people are like, well, how are you? I was like, I know sex not a thing. And I was like, well.
Yeah, well.
It probably wasn't a thing because, you know, I was handling it.
Yeah.
And so I think, like, being okay with saying, like, nah, we all have things. This is why we need the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And none of us are out here living in perfection.
Facts.
We all have things we struggle with.
Yeah.
But it is that God saying, like, I know you did that. I love the story in the garden that we all try to make this rah-rah story.
Yeah.
It's like, no, they recognized they were naked and they hid. Mm-hmm. And then the Lord goes, where are you?
Beautiful picture.
Like, what are you
beautiful.
Doing?
Beautiful.
He's pursuing us.
Yeah.
Even he already knew. He saw them.
Why are you hiding?
Why are you hiding? Mm-hmm. And I think like that is, we can't let the enemy drown us in shame.
So good.
Because his idea is that you make a mistake, you turn away, you feel like God doesn't want you anymore. Now you're off into something.
Because
his desire is to separate you from the Lord.
Yeah.
So he's going to use whatever he can. It's like, no, God's not mad at me. He factored this in.
Yes.
Yeah.
When he chose me, he knew at some point Brenda was going to be, you know, doing stuff she have no business doing.
Yeah.
But there's always a road back to him.
Good. Mm-hmm. So good.
And I think like we have to always keep that in mind. Nowhere is too far for God to reach you and grab you and pursue you.
That's so good.
I love that.
One of the biggest things of saying yes to God or being on the journey of yes is losing your expectation of what you thought your life should look like.
Mm-hmm.
So even going back to your story, and because I feel like a lot of, especially young believers, I think you can kind of speak to this because you said you went to Cali to pursue media, right? But then we see what you're doing now,
right.
And this was nowhere in the plan. So can you talk about how your gifting, your natural giftings, and the things that you probably saw as a passion or something that you wanted to do, how did you get here, and how was God using those gifts that you have now, but in a sanctified way or in a way for him?
No, I think like, I remember when I was supposed to move to LA and I didn't, and I had to stay in Chicago. I was miserable.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely miserable.
Mm-hmm.
I hated everything. Like, I was working at H&M. I was like, how I got 2 degrees and working at H&M? This doesn't even make sense. And I remember, like, God, like, if you do not settle in this, because I said yes to stay, but I had not said yes in my heart.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I remember scrolling on Instagram, watching my classmates attend things in LA and New York and being like, they not even saved.
Yeah.
Like how they living like this.
Yeah.
And I ain't seen a red carpet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I remember God saying, if you don't settle, you gonna be here.
Yeah.
Until you get it. And so I think I adopted that heart posture and like, if I don't settle in it, I'm not going to get out of it what I'm supposed to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Brenda in 2014 at 24 years old had no business going to LA. I can tell y'all now I would not be who I am today.
Because
at 24, at 27, I was still drinking and smoking.
Yeah.
I probably would have been on good drugs if I would have went to LA, because they're very legal, and I probably would have been outside, like, because as much as I was like, nah, like, I'm that ain't my life no more, it was still in me. I just was not in an environment that had that. I didn't have access to that. In Chicago was never a place I party, but everywhere outside of Chicago I did. And so I think God knew I wasn't mature enough. So I think, to answer your question, you get to a point where you recognize God knows better than me. And it's really hard, because I didn't understand why I was at the height of my career taking off and the Lord was like, okay, bet, let's go.
Yeah.
And it's because, like, in hindsight, I can go, yeah, because I would have been in those same rooms I'm in now trying to build my career.
Wow. Yeah.
Now I'm in those rooms building the kingdom.
Yeah.
So when I'm in a room, I'm getting pulled to the side, like, hey, Pastor Brendan, you know, I was thinking about this one thing, or you know, really struggling with something. I'm like, bro, I can't go nowhere. and so I think that there was a way that God had to build me that would shift my perspective.
Yes.
It's not that he was taking me away from the things. He's like, but I need you to be in this space with an understanding of why you're here.
Yeah.
That this is not about you. Because when you, I went to film school, so they teach you how to work the room, what you need to say, who you need to talk to, like how you progress from one yes to the next thing.
Yeah.
So I would have been focused on building my career, not trying to talk about Jesus
at
all. Now I'm in a room like, I don't need nothing from this room.
Yeah.
If I'm in the room, it's to offer something to the room. Mm-hmm. So now there's a different perspective I have. And so I think, like, when you can see it that way, it gets easier to walk away from things, even without the knowledge of whether or not God's going to give it back.
So good.
I've been great, like, blessed enough that some things I've spent the block on, and I've been in rooms and I'm like, oh, I never thought I would be here.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, but you did it my way.
Yeah.
Because it's Matthew 6:33.
Hello. Mm-hmm.
If you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these less important things, they are drawn to you.
Yeah.
So good.
So any opportunity that I would have had to chase is chasing me.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And so I think, like, when you start to understand, again, it goes back to the knowledge of God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who is he really? What's his character?
Yeah.
So when he's asking me for something, he's not trying to ruin my life.
Yeah.
He's trying to make it better. And not with things, but with him.
Mm-hmm.
I love that you said that. Because the scripture where it says, my people perish for their lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
When I read it the other day, it was as if, like, God was like, yeah, their knowledge of me, of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read it in that aspect, I was like, wow, because that's facts. Because a lot of people,
if you don't know God, you will perish.
You will perish because you don't know God the way you're supposed to. You're not as intimate. You're not as loving. You're not as aware of him, of his being, and who he is. So you're not. You're kind of putting yourself in a box because you not really are letting him show you who he can be to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it really blew my mind after reading that.
And I think, like, when we sometimes, I think we just have to hold it for what it is. It's like what we're holding in our hands. If we can't release it in response to God, it's an idol.
Yes,
something we serve.
Yeah.
And I think, like, we have to recognize that everything in the kingdom is upside down. So in Mark, when it talks about denying yourself and taking up your cross, it says anybody who holds on to their life will lose it.
Yeah.
But if you lose your life, you'll gain it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not just all in eternity. I have literally lost my life and gained so much more on the other side of it. But it is all about perspective. And so, like, when we look at Jesus, he's baptized. The Lord affirms him and says he's pleased with him before he ever accomplishes anything. He says, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased.
So good.
And then he sends him into the wilderness.
Wow. Yeah.
It's like, you please?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I can't tell.
Are you sure you please? And then he gets into the wilderness. And then when Satan comes to tempt him, he takes him to the mountaintop.
Yeah. Mm.
And so sometimes we can think that our success is the gift from God and the valley is the punishment from God. And when it's usually the complete opposite.
Yeah.
When you get so much success that you can't walk away from, that's the enemy giving you his kingdom in exchange for your obedience.
Yeah.
And we got to be careful with that. And so I think whenever we get to a point and God's like, all right, I need that.
Yeah.
I know for me, he's always testing my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a lot of that this year.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bruh, I thought we was good. He said, you still don't got it.
Yeah.
So give me that too. Now, like, you can have it, kicking and screaming, but let's do it.
Yeah.
And I think it becomes a trust thing. I think Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Mm-hmm. Don't lean on your own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
If you acknowledge him in all your ways, he'll show you which path to take.
Yeah.
That is the journey of yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Learning to trust God in everything with all of me. And when I lean, when I'm thinking about what I know, what I got, what I'm going to lose, what I desire, I'm leaning on my own understanding. It doesn't have capacity to hold you.
Yeah,
that's good.
But if I acknowledge God in everything, which says he's God, I'm not, he'll show me which path to take.
Yeah.
That's so how do I respond to God? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's good. You got anything else?
I actually want to tap into what you just said as well, because there's a book by Travis Greene, where it talks about, are you praying for the wrong thing?
Mm-hmm.
And I love how you said the analogy with the door, like basically saying, like, when you pray for the right thing, that door usually just leads to everything else as like a prerequisite that just comes with this. Mm-hmm. So like with King Solomon, he asked for wisdom and understanding. And God said, since you asked for this, I'm going to also give you what you did not ask for.
Yes.
And now riches and fame come along with that influence. All this stuff's come along with that. But you pray for the right thing versus the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. And I love how you were saying how, you got to basically work for the kingdom because you end up going for the right thing versus the wrong thing. Because I love how you broke it down saying that you would have been in the right room but trying to still work on your own career.
For sure.
And chasing stuff.
Yeah, chasing the wrong thing. Yeah. But you flipped it in a way to where, no, I pray for the right thing. Now I'm helping the kingdom out in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people get caught up in that aspect of they're constantly praying for the wrong thing, so they'll never be able to experience what it truly is that God's trying to give them, because if they just thought about, hey, all right, instead of me praying for the materialistic thing, how about I just pray for the character development that can actually get to that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That'll automatically apply itself to what you're actually praying for.
Yeah.
I mean, doing it for God's kingdom.
For sure. Mm. And because the thing that you're praying for, if it's materialistic, it ain't going to last.
At all. It's temporary.
It's temporary.
Yeah.
And so if God's, I think like we just, as believers, we got to learn to see the world differently. Mm-hmm. And everything is an opportunity for you to introduce him.
Yeah.
And I feel like somebody wrote that in my comment the other day. It's like, one thing Brittany going to do is give God the glory. Yeah, because what else am I here for? Like, what is it? If I'm anywhere, it's because the Lord put me there. And y'all going to know that. Yeah. That's why he put me there. Because he know, all right, Brittany going to blow it up. I am. Because I did not do this on my own. Mm-hmm. And people need to know that. And I think we need to see it like that. Mm-hmm. All the things that... even opportunities is like, nah, like I get to do this because God wants to be in that room and he chose to partner with me to do it.
Yeah.
So it's like, man, I got a podcast. My podcast blows up. It's not so you can get money.
Yeah. You know,
your podcast blew up so you can blow up the name of God. So he gets the glory. Yeah. And I think if we don't recognize that, I think we mishandle a lot of things. And I think what we pray for reveals the posture of our hearts.
I was just about to say that.
That's a fact. Good. That is definitely a fact.
Your heart posture is everything.
It's, and that's what God is after.
Yeah.
It's why he will take a thing. It's why he will give you a thing. Yeah. And see how you respond to it, which will determine if he gives you another thing, you know? And so I think, like, I just always want my heart to be pure. And I think being a PK, being in ministry, being behind all the curtains, I think my prayer is just like, God, please, first, don't walk me into anything that will cause me to become what I've seen others become.
Man. Listen,
because
it's crazy out here.
Because everybody ain't start there.
Yeah.
Well, we just talked about that.
They ended up, all the things we see that make us go, oh my God, what is happening? Yeah. Nobody starts there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's one little decision after little decision, whether it's to compromise, whether it's to, it's that one room you sit in and God tells you to say something and you don't. Yeah. There's one decision towards a direction that you don't want to go in.
Wow.
And so I'm like, don't sit me in a room if I'm not strong enough to say what I need to say.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't want to go into anything that will take me away from God.
Yeah.
If it means walking away from all of this tomorrow, I would.
Yeah.
Because I always say this, it's obedience is not about what I get on the other side of it. It's about the God I meet through
it. So good.
Because I literally always say this, like, I want to walk with God like Enoch did.
Mm-hmm.
He just was walking until he was not. We don't know. Did he die? We don't know. He just was not no more.
Yeah.
He wasn't walking. But it's like, I want to have that level of relationship. Like, I know we love to quote Paul, but Jesus's life was a great blueprint on what it was. I'm impressed by the things Jesus did. I'm more impressed by the things he didn't
do.
How many things he didn't get involved in that he could have.
Yeah.
Could have easily stepped in.
He could have easily. Yeah. I'm very impressed that he's hearing everybody tell him one of his closest friends is dying, and my boy is just like.
He said this one's for the glory of the Father.
This won't end in death.
It's not going to end in death.
What do you mean by that?
Like, but he dying.
And he cried.
Hey, he dead.
Like, yo, you just got the call. Like, are we going?
He's like, we moving?
Matter of fact, it said, look, he stayed where he was at.
Stayed where he was at.
For more days after the information. Like,
he said, nah, I'm going to just chill. That's his friend.
Yeah.
And he knows what it's going to do to all the people. And yet he recognizes not even my personal feelings override the purpose of God.
Wow.
And we all have to desire to have hearts like that, that says, like, I know I want to get in this. He goes and heals a man at the pool of Bethesda at a place where everybody needs healing. He heals one man.
Yeah.
And goes on about his business.
Crazy.
All right, get up now. Take your mat now.
He said, now you pick up your mat. And all right. I can only imagine what the other people were doing there.
I was looking around like, hold on.
Like, hey, yep. Me too. You know what I'm saying? He just goes. It could have been a healing crusade.
Facts.
Yeah.
He could have made a great name for himself.
Yeah.
You know, he's not distracted by what people need from him. He is only focused on what the Lord is asking him to do. Good. And I think, like, that is my heart. Like, I want to live like that. And it gets hard, especially when you love people and you're like, oh, but I really want to.
Yeah.
I really want to. It's like, no, what is God designed for this moment and this timing and this season? And, like, I just got to stay true to that and trust that, like, I don't love God's people more than he do.
Facts.
So
that's a fact.
He got them. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? They're good. Yeah, they're going to be okay. But just, like, trusting God enough to, like, okay, God, this is my life that I said yes to give to you, and I'm going to trust it in your hands.
So good.
Love it so much.
If you had one last thing that you would want to leave with the audience, what would that be? It could be anything.
I don't know. I think if I had one last thing to say, I would say to try to gain the courage to trust God beyond your fears. Because I think that, like, fear is not something that we deny. It's something we should face.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think we face it by taking a step towards God.
So good.
It's like, I may have no idea where this step is leading me, but I know the one who's leading me through it.
Yeah.
And trust him enough to, like, take the step. Because I think there are so many people that are sitting on things and being completely, like, stagnant because they are afraid.
Man.
And there's so many lives waiting on you to just take the next step.
Wow.
Or the first step.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, not all five, not all 10, not the finished work. God's like, could you just take one step?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'll meet you there. Like, let him meet you in that one step, and the next one will be so much easier.
Yeah.
And so I would say, like, that would be my encouragement. Like, it's so worth it.
Yeah.
If there is anything you wanted to take a chance on in 2025, it would be the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's a solid choice. Mm-hmm. And I just, I don't know, like, I really just love Jesus.
Yeah.
And I just want people to love him.
Yes.
And experience his love the way that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I think it's like, I love Jesus, but I don't love him nearly as much as he loves me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, like, man, when you experience that, those choices get easier.
Mm-hmm.
Not easier in the sense of, like, what it brings, but it's like, okay, God, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, why not?
Yeah.
And it doesn't end. I thought it did, and I'm smack dab in the middle of another unknown journey, and I'm like, bro, you didn't want to give me a break.
Yes.
All right. We're here. Let's do it.
Yeah. That was good. That was
Thank
good.
You,
well, we
Lord.
Appreciate you. Every time we see you, just even online, see you doing your thing, you're traveling across the world, you're speaking, the book just dropped. We're very proud of you. It feels like we've known you for years. When we was in Atlanta at VCI, when you did your segment, we was like, that's Brenda. We were over there yelling. But we're very proud of you. Tell the people where they can find you on social media, where they can buy your book as well.
Yeah, no, before I do that,
yes,
I'm also proud of you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, sis.
Thank you for being voices in your generation. We need it. First of all, people need to see that being a believer is not corny.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we've all taken on that assignment. We're not corny.
Yeah, we're not corny.
In real life, could y'all stop putting us in TV shows? Yeah. Like, we're not corny. Yeah. Okay. No, but I'm really grateful for y'all voices and for your commitment to just be real.
Yeah.
You know, like, and to love God. And we need to see that. We need to see men doing that.
Yeah.
And living upright. And I know it's a lot of pressure. Sometimes I know the weight that you carry. Mm-hmm. But you guys carry it with grace.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And so I'm just excited to see, like, how God will continue to, like, expand your platforms. You know, when you guys open a church, you know, whatever you do. I know. It feels good to do that to someone else. You're like, what church? What are you saying? Like, what are you saying? Like, yeah, but, you know, it could be there. I think, like, we definitely need your voices. And thank you for being obedient. Because I keep saying this to everybody. I'm like, there's a shift happening. Mm-hmm. And church, as we've known it, is not going to be that in the next 6 to 8 months.
That's a fact. Mm-hmm.
And there are voices that God's been just reserving for a time that he'll just herald because he's like, I got something to say and I need a people who don't have anything to lose that will be willing to say what I need you to say. Yeah. So I definitely think like you guys are a part of the end time revival that we're going to see birth. So I'm just excited to see it all.
Thank you. Yes,
and
that's amazing.
I'm proud. I'm proud to be family. I love y'all.
Definitely
vice versa. Vice versa.
But yeah, if you guys want to tap in with me, I am everywhere at I Am Brenda Palmer. YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. You can also purchase my book, The Journey of Yes, everywhere books are sold, or on my website at iambrendapalmer.com.
Perfect. Go buy it.
Yes, go buy the book right now.
Right now.
I already got a review. One of my friends said they love the book already.
So I love that.
That's good. You know, some people are like, they produce things, but it's not, you know.
No. And that's how, when I was writing, I was like, God, does this make sense?
No, it's very
like, does it?
Practical.
And I have an audio book too, and people have been listening to it like it's a podcast.
Yeah. Really?
They like, I finished it in 2 days. Yeah. I'm like, it's
that's
a
fire.
Whole book.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's
but I wanted it to feel conversational.
Definitely. So it's amazing. Go get the book right now. Follow her on all platforms. I'm sure you'll be seeing her really soon. If you don't know her, now you do. Yeah. And yeah, we appreciate you, sis. Thank you so much
for
this.
I love y'all. Thank you.
Yes, love you more.
And as always, it's always more purpose. You just have to find yours. We love y'all. Y'all be safe. Keep God in your life. You feel me?
Love.
Love.